19th. Grandmother Clara Gregory says she had a feeling her grandson would be born on November 19th, even though he wasn't due until Christmas. Even though he arrived early, the baby and mother are both doing well. Andy Field, ABC News.
Sports trending now.
The Oakland Raiders have just fired defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr., replacing him with John Pagano. The Raiders at 4-6 will host the Denver Broncos this Sunday. The Broncos in that game will reportedly be quarterbacked at the outset by Paxton Lynch, according to multiple outlets, after Trevor Siemian started the first seven and Brock Osweiler started the last three. Remember, the Broncos themselves just fired offensive coordinator Mike McCoy only yesterday. Elsewhere, Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports that former Cardinals running back Andre Ellington has been claimed off waivers by the Houston Texans. College Hoops Missouri announced today that Michael Porter Jr., one of the top incoming freshmen in the nation, will undergo back surgery today and is likely out for the remainder of the season. I'm Isaac Lowenkron.
We are Woo!
When severe weather cuts across Lorain and Medina counties, depend on the radio station on the edge of the storm. Your official weather station, locally owned and locally responsive. AM 930 WEOL.
This is Bulls Eye on Weather on AM 930. Overnight, maybe an ever so slight dusting of snow. Low near 27. Few clouds Wednesday, high of 35.
Clear skies, it's 50.
It's Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
They like jet airplanes. Woo! They like long limousines. They like fine clothes.
On AM 930 WEOL.
After 5 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL with Matt Douglas and me, Andy Bulbarch. We're taking you right up to 6 o'clock tonight. Tim Alcorn is out at the Brew Kettle in Amherst, ready to bring you the high school boys basketball coaches preview show. That'll begin at 6 o'clock tonight. However, on the line with us right now, we've got comedian John Caparulo joining us. He'll be performing at Hilarities, downtown Cleveland on East 4th tomorrow through Saturday. John, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
So far, so good. Now, we mentioned you're performing downtown Cleveland. That's, I guess, to some degree, a little bit of a homecoming for you, right, being the Browns fan that you are?
I was a Browns fan growing up. I liked the first team. That they had, I have a hard time endorsing the current football team that's there. So, you know, it's I was a diehard Browns fan as a kid, though. Yeah, absolutely. But when they cut Bernie Kosar, it just kind of hit for me.
Yeah, that was it for a lot of people, for sure. I mean, a lot of people had no problems cutting ties after they let go of Kosar. Now, how did you get your start in comedy?
I was finishing up school at Kent State and just kind of realized that, you know, I looked around the classes and realized the other students cared about the classes, and I just didn't, and I realized I've been sort of just baking my way through 4 years, 5 years actually, of college, and just realized I mean, I never really wanted to do anything but stand-up other than sports, but I think my body kind of prevented me from doing that. So it was pretty much, yeah, I just, you know, so it's, I knew from about the time I was 11 or 12, I wanted to do comedy and just did it. Went and, you know, open mics. I went to the one that was originally, the original Hilarities was closed for a bit, and that's when I started comedy. And I went to the one that was in Cuyahoga Falls that I believe is under a different name now.
John, is there something about Kent State? Because we've had you on here. We had Steve Byrne on not too long ago, obviously, Drew Carey. I mean, is there something in the water there?
Yeah, Arsenio Hall? Yeah, that's right. There's probably a few I'm forgetting, actually, that went to Kent State. So, yeah, I'm sure there's something in the water there, but it's probably not what makes funny. It's just there's something there. It's definitely a school that I guess probably a lot of us that are that go to college but don't really take it that seriously. We kind of just go because, well, you're supposed to go. I think that's a lot of, you know, I mean, Kent State's one of those schools that has a lot of that, you know, I guess that their student body, it's not exactly MIT, you know. So, you know, it's a trend there, you know.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
If you go to Harvard or MIT, I would think you would probably use your degree.
Sure.
Kent State's degree is kind of like, you know, I mean, I don't even know where mine is, to be honest with you. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know.
Sure, I can attest to that, John. I actually am a Kent State grad myself, and here I am working in radio with a BG guy. So,
right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
Look at that. That's actually what I went to school for, but I went for radio TV production. And, I mean, like, I would have been so absolutely I would have been clueless, though, even if I had wanted to try to get a job in that. Because I remember, like, doing, like, you know, my like, what was it, like, end of the semester radio production project, and I was using vinyl and carts. And so it was like, look, I never used a computer my whole way through college. I graduated in 98, other than to type papers. Because my roommate had one, but I never really had to use one. But you go to a radio station now, it's all computer screens. Yeah. Everything's on computer. Yeah.
Every last
crazy
bit of
world.
It. Yeah, it's amazing how digitized it's become, but it makes our job a heck of a lot easier. That's for sure. Now, you know, looking through some of your material and seeing some of the stand-ups that you've done, I know every month you try and change it up a little bit, do something different. I saw the bit that you did on Halloween about a month ago. It was hilarious stuff. What kinds of things will you work in, or do you plan on working anything in on Thanksgiving? Was Thanksgiving a huge holiday for your family growing up?
You know, I always liked Thanksgiving, you know, personally, because it was a really quiet holiday, you know, because, like, Christmas, we always ended up doing, like, the whole, you know, it was a pageant of, you know, like, so-and-so's coming over, and we got to do all the gift exchange and all the, you know, the thank yous and here's for you and everything, like, just the whole, you know, that whole mix, whereas, you know, Thanksgiving was just so quiet. And, you know, it was easier. It was, you know, because all we did was basically, you know, roll out of bed, watch football, and eat some turkey and some cranberry sauce and go to sleep, you know. So it was very nice and sedentary, which I liked, you know.
Sure.
So it was a lot better.
Nice and laid back. We'd love it if every one of our Thanksgivings were like that. That sounds like a pretty nice Thanksgiving experience.
Seriously. I mean, you know, just, I mean, I always wondered, like, I mean, the people who make cranberry sauce must—I mean, this is go time for them, isn't it? I mean, who eats cranberry sauce in like April? Nobody, you know. I mean, it's just—they got to sell now, or they're not going to sell. You know, I mean, it's pretty crucial.
Yeah, that's like the folks that make stuffing. Also, it's not like you're going to sell a ton of stuffing later on in the year too. You're right. A lot of those industries it's make or break time for them. If you can for a second, I know we alluded to this a little bit earlier about you being a Browns fan for the original Browns. I heard that stand-up you did about a month ago. I want to see if you could retell the story about how you became a Browns fan and sharing that experience of going to a game against the Oilers with your dad when you were 8.
Oh, that was. Depends on how much time you have. I was a Browns fan. Like, I became a Browns fan. It's almost like an arranged marriage, where it's just like you become a Browns. You become a fan of whatever team that your parents tell you you're a fan of, and you kind of go with it. And the worst thing you can possibly be is a fair weather fan or anything like that. So you can't bail on your team. So you just have to stay in this crappy arranged marriage with this ugly chick for year after year after year. And and then every now and then you have a 1986 or 87, you know, when they play well and they're really, you know, on top, and it all pays off, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm glad I stuck with them. And then, you know, but then it quickly goes to hell again. But I mean, my dad was the worst person in the world, or still is the worst person in the world to watch a football game with, because he gets so, first of all, he gets too personally involved, and he can't handle anything except for like a blowout. And I mean, it has to be a blowout from the start. I mean, like they can't lose the coin toss, or he gets upset and runs out to his garage and listens to it on the radio while the rest of us sit and watch it in the living room. And he took me to a game. It was Halloween. It was Halloween of 1983. It was, I think, October 30th, though. It was like a, because I lived in Canton, Ohio at the time, and they did they were doing trick or treat. They had moved it to like to Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. So yeah, that was a great setting to dress up in a vampire costume or something to be walking around in the daylight like a weirdo. But it was it's what they wanted to do, because there was so much panic over, you know, abductions and things like that. And so, you know, they just didn't want kids just running around in the dark, which is probably a good idea, to a degree. But I think they just need adult chaperones in the dark. That would be good. But I decided I'd miss trick-or-treat because my dad got tickets to the Browns and the Oilers game. So we went to the Browns-Oilers game, and I remember, I mean, the Oilers went up, I believe it was, I want to say it was 19-10, something like that. It was two scores, but not, it was barely two scores. And it might have been 20-10, something like that. But it was third quarter, the Oilers go up by a couple scores, and my dad just starts to pout. And I'm eight. I'm like, it's just great to be here. Like, it's exciting. It's only the third quarter. They might come back. My dad's mad, and he's like, "Why don't we just go? Let's just get ahead of traffic." I'm like, "Oh, okay, all right, fine. I guess we won't watch the. I mean, because the fourth quarter doesn't matter. No, it never does. So we leave the game, and we get in the car. I remember we're driving home, and I think we had a 72 Skylark, and 71, and we're driving home, and my dad decides to put the radio broadcast of the game on, which is the dumbest movie could have ever made. And we proceed to listen to the Browns make a really great heroic comeback. Boyce Green gets the, I think it was an overtime. They went Boyce Green. They said it was like a 30-yard screen pass, touchdown. Browns win the game. And I had tickets and I missed it. And I remember my dad just looking at me like, "Well, you can probably still do some trick-or-treating." what am I going to go as? A disappointed Browns fan? Like, what am I going to do? Like, how's that going to be fun, Dad? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was never fun to take sports that personally anyway. Like, that's why I'm just kind of a free agent. I root for whoever I use on Madden, actually. So that's usually my team, so.
Yeah, there isn't enough candy in the bag at that point to cure the disappointment of that experience. Totally understood.
There's not. There's gonna be a lot of apples and waste can trash. So yeah, it's not gonna be good.
Comedian John Camparillo was our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. He's performing at Hilarity's downtown on East 4th tomorrow through Saturday. You do a podcast with your wife called Domestic Disputes. What's this all about, and where did this idea come from?
Well, if you've ever been married, I think it's not hard to see where that idea came from. It was just basically like, we originally started the idea that we were going to take like a specific argument that we were having maybe, you know, between each other. Cause at the time we didn't have our daughter or anything yet. So it was just like, you know, whatever sort of thing, you know, a couple would argue about, we would just take that argument and we would put it out as the argument for the week on Domestic Disputes. But it quickly just devolved into we just hit record and started bickering. And that's pretty much what we do now, except it's on camera. But yeah, it's we don't have to have anything specifically planned or anything like that to go back and forth about. I mean, pretty much, but yeah, it's pretty instinctual for my wife to disagree with whatever I have to say. So it's a nice it's fun though, because she's very, you know, my wife's really funny without like trying to be like, she's not a comic herself, but she's very, very funny, and she's very, you know, witty, and she's good at basically at poking holes in everything that I have to say. So yeah.
John, you talk a little bit about the internet and the things you do on there. I know back in the day you used to have your caplets on the YouTube page that you have there. I used to enjoy those, quite frequent visitor of your YouTube page. I'm just curious.
They're still on there.
Great. Like I said, I love that stuff. But I was always curious because sometimes you may not get the biggest hit out of the audience you have on there, but sometimes I think that's some of your funniest material. As you're doing some of that stuff, do you think maybe this is more of an internet or a YouTube type joke, or are you always trying to play to that audience in the house?
Well, you just try to play, you know, whatever's in front of you. I mean, I always want to do well, of course, with the audience. And sometimes the audience just, for whatever reason, they're not with me. You know, or for a good reason, they're not with me. You know, because the thing is every time I do caplets, I mean, I've done it now. It's what we've done 43 or 44 mm-hmm. episodes of caplets, and I mean, it's every month coming up with a new set, and that's not easy to do. And I realized after about 4, 5, 6 months of doing it, that's kind of, my bag of tricks was empty. I mean, so it was like, well, I guess I got to start writing it on the fly. So I just basically would start writing it in the car on the way there, or maybe, you know, a few hours before in my office or something. But it's always like, you know, because I'm a procrastinator, I can't really do things I better prepare for next month's caplets. No, I'd rather wait for it to get right up on top of me, and then I got to come up with something. Because I usually respond to pressure pretty well. Sometimes I don't. You know, there's times when, you know, you've seen it. There's a few of them that they're not my best. But, sure. I always manage to have one or two in there that are worth listening to or watching. But I mean, then I have ones like, you know, like last month, like you mentioned about the Halloween and stuff like that, that, you know, was a, you know, I think a really good one, you know, that I'm proud of, that I'm able to, you know, kind of be able to put things like that together that quickly. You know, there's this, I like a challenge professionally mm-hmm. as a comic to be able to do stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
Well, that one you did last month was hilarious. The bit that you did about working at the haunted houses was hilarious. I mean, the differences between the two haunted houses, the way that you had that knocked out, that was absolutely fantastic stuff. I was a huge, huge fan of that. Again, you can catch John. He's at Hilarities East 4th downtown tomorrow through Saturday. John, thank you so much for stopping by. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And again, don't forget, you can catch John at Hilarities East 4th downtown tomorrow all the way through Saturday. So if you're looking for a reason to get away during Thanksgiving, again, John will be at Hilarities at East 4th tomorrow through Saturday. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was really cool. I hear that story, too, about being a Browns fan. I think probably in this day and age, you could leave in the first quarter. The result's probably going to come out the same way, but that's good stuff. You left a little too early there.
I love how you worked in that Kent State plug like you always do.
I tried, yeah. Well, look, you got to
right, though.
Got to respect
right.
The Kent State guys, and I followed exactly what he was saying on that, too. So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
It's a long list of Kent State comedians. Yeah. No, John was awesome. That was a lot of fun stuff. Again, John Caparulo will be at East 4th tomorrow through Saturday. Make sure you check him out if you are down there. A very, very funny guy. And if you haven't checked out his website to check out those caplets that Matt was talking about, there's some gold there also. It's not safe for work, though, so be careful when you enter that. But, man, he's a funny guy. Very, very funny guy.
He was in Vince Vaughn had a movie not too long ago as well called Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Shootout or something like that. He's in that, too. And if you haven't seen that, check it out because you get behind the scenes look at how these guys are on tour and stuff. And he's certainly one of the more interesting characters on that as well.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, Your Money Now, and then Matt Douglas with the local news as we enter the last half hour of this Tuesday edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Enjoy comfort food with a Southern influence. Visit Green Square Restaurant at Dragon Ranch. Shrimp and grits, ribeye steak, fried chicken, and beignets. You'll love Green Square Restaurant.